And behold, a mighty city broken in the dust again. Mystery Babylon, the world empire of Jewish high finance and dictatorship, dictatorial control of the planet. Which, by the way, Apocalypse of Baruch is going to address to a fair extent. Waiting for Greg to call in. Pastor Eli James here. This is Yahweh's Covenant People. Welcome, everybody. And we're going to continue our story of the Apocalypse of Baruch. While I'm waiting for Greg to call in, I'm going to back up to chapter, I think it's 48. I have to back up one page to see. Yes, chapter 48. And I'll start at verse 16. For we said not to our parents, beget us, nor did we send to Sheol and say, receive us. What therefore is our strength that we should bear thy wrath? Or what are we that we should endure thy judgment? Protect us in thy compassions, and in thy mercy help us. Behold the little ones that are subject to thee, and save all that draw nigh unto thee, and destroy not the hope of our people, and cut not short the times of our aid. For this is the nation which thou hast chosen, and these are the people to whom thou findest no equal. Of course, this is a very similar to many passages in the Old Testament, saying that Israel is a peculiar people, a special people, a people like unto there is no other, etc., etc. So we can see the Apocalypse of Baruch is very much in sync with Scripture. Verse 21, but I will speak now before thee, and I will say as my heart thinketh, in thee do we trust, that is Yahweh, of course, for lo, thy law is with us, and we know that we shall not fail or fall so far as we keep thy statutes. So we will not fall as long as we keep your statutes. In this, at least, we are always blessed that we have not mingled with the nations. Okay? Not mingled with the nations. The holy seed has not mingled itself with the seed of the other nations. Of course, this is the same as Ezra 9:2. Where Ezra complains after the Judahites came back from the Babylonian captivity that certain leaders of the Israelites there, of the Judahites, had taken daughters of the other nations around Judah and sons. Ezra 9:2, for they have taken of their daughters for themselves and for their sons, so that the holy seed, and there is only one holy seed, folks, there's only one holy seed, and that's Israel. That the Hebrew word is zera, seed, meaning in the Greek it means sperm, have mingled themselves with the people of those lands. Yea, the hand of the princes and rulers hath been chief in this trespass, mahal, treachery, sin. Okay? Bible clearly declares that this is a sin. We are not to mix our seed with that of other nations. We're supposed to stay within the Adamic seed line. This is the way Yahweh has told us to behave. And, of course, the vast majority of nations do not follow this law anymore. Okay, are you with me, Greg?
Brother Eli, can you hear me?
Yes, very good. Okay.
Am I coming in all right?
Yeah. You're fine. Yeah, it's nice and clear.
Forgive me, brother, for being a couple minutes late. Life kind of jumped into my way a little bit. I'm glad to be here tonight.
Life happens.
Yeah.
Right? Jews happen, too.
Praise right. Yahweh.
Yeah, praise Yahweh.
What a time we're living in right now. I would not choose to be alive in any other time than right now. Yeah. As crazy as it is, right now is the most exciting time I believe in the history of the white race and our people to be alive right now.
Amen.
Praise Yahweh.
It doesn't get any more exciting.
It's unbelievable. It's all I can say is it's laid out the way that it's happening, and Yahweh has opened it to us the select few that will understand at the end, you know, the holy people, as Daniel lays it out. We're the holy – Christian identity clearly is the holy people at the end, the race of Yahweh that understands what's going on. And we're just living in the most unique time that this world has ever seen. We're going to see the end of the age. It cannot be far off. It's got to be close. It's got to be close.
The tares will burn, just like matchsticks. strung along the road.
I've got my little lighters all fired up, and if I don't get to the front of the line to fire up, you know who I want? I want to fire up Chuck Schumer. That Jew. I claim that Jew right now for myself. I don't want to be selfish. If somebody else wants George Soros, they can have him, but I want Chuck Schumer. He's mine.
He's especially
I'm not
obnoxious.
Saying I won't share him. If 1,000 other brothers want to fire him up along with me, I'm cool with that. I'm just saying I have to be one of the ones that lights the match, that burns that satanic, wicked, son-of-a-bitch Jew and sends him on his way.
Yeah. You can
I hate that Jew. I hate that Jew.
You can be the ceremonial fire starter, right?
You know, some of my friends have actually called me anti-Semitic, and I go, you know? Thank you. Is it clear? I'm trying to make it clear, even though you don't understand the concept of the true Semitic race, which is actually a white race.
Sure.
But you mean it in a way that, Greg, you really hate Jews. And I go, you know, I really hate Jews.
Yeah, right.
I don't just hate them. Yeah, I want to send them straight to the lake of fire.
Send them to hell where they came from. Amen. Amen.
That's right, brother.
But, brother, I'm so disappointed. Because you've probably heard all of these stories recently of, I guess it's kind of even global, desecrating Jewish cemeteries and painting swastikas.
You saw who got caught for it today, right?
Yeah, I was so disappointed. It was a black guy.
A black guy. I was waiting for a rabbi to get arrested. Probably the rabbis do get caught now and then, but then they pick up the phone and they call in a high-level, tribal member of the satanic race, and that guy lets the police guy know, you got to let that guy go. No, don't arrest him. You know, let that guy go. I know. It was a black guy. Let's face it, brother. When living where I live, the big news here is 100 Jewish headstones were kicked over in our local cemetery here.
Good job.
And my first thought was, I wonder which rabbi did that. Which synagogue rabbis went out in the middle of the night and kicked over 100 Jewish headstones? And, of course, it's mainstream, it's all over the country, in New York, Jewish headstones kicked
LA, it's all across, St. Louis, Dallas.
Automatically assuming it's an evil Nazi, racist, white guy, bigot, Jew.
I was so hoping it would be a skinhead with Nazi tattoos all over his body, right? But no, it was a black guy. How disappointing.
Well, I'm waiting for some security cam to pick up a rabbi.
Right.
I want a rabbi
giving him
to
some cash. Right,
the classic. Hey, Rabbi, what you doing? Painting a Gnostica on the synagogue, kicking over some headstones. Not for nothing, people like us. I have better things to do than to go into Jewish cemeteries and kick over headstones, or to go down to my local synagogue and paint a swastika on the wall. You know, I'm a light year beyond that.
Hey, you just gave me a great name for a bunch of harmonica players forming a band. We can call them the Swastikats.
Ooh, I love that name.
Right?
Swastikats. Wow. Brother, you are a rocker. I remember when I was at your house. I wish everyone on the radio could see them. I still remember the photograph of the young Eli up with the rock band. Eli's a serious rocker.
Oh, yeah.
At least in his youth. The dude he was a rocker. Yeah. The swastika.
I can barely croak out the songs I used to sing.
I know, brother. Hey, age doesn't really help us apart from our minds where we understand our reality. But the Swastikats, that's an inspired group.
Yeah, right.
We'll
what
have a to name.
Save that. We'll have to save that. But okay, brother, getting back to the Apocalypse of Baruch, and I think part two of the main thesis we started last week, and I just went back into chapter 48. And quoted from 16 through 23.
48 is the lead up into the main revelation. of the apocalypse of the book, which starts, I believe, in chapter 53.
Okay.
And
but this was so good, and the message is so racial purity here in verse 23. In this, at least, we are always blessed that we have not mingled with the nations. For we are all named one people who have received one law from one, and of course that being one being Yahweh, and the law which is amongst us will aid us, and the surpassing wisdom which is in us will help us. Okay? Now, of course, the vast majority of our people have lost the law and lost this wisdom, and this
totally.
is why Baruch is lamenting so much that the vision that he sees in the future. Okay? But let me just go ahead and continue reading, because this is really so good. And just, you know, we'll certainly get to chapter 53 this evening. Okay? So just jump in whenever you feel like it. And I'm reading from the actual book. I have the book put out by Destiny Publishers, and it's the R.H. Charles.
Yep. Oh. I would encourage everyone that's going to listen to these upcoming shows, Destiny Publishers, for I think it's $11 or $12, more or less, will send you a hard copy version of The Apocalypse of Baruch. And it's, I'm an old school guy. I like the book in front of me. I like to write my notes and underline. Yeah. And I'm looking at my Apocalypse of Baruch study now, brother, and every single page I have cross-references.
Yes.
I have notes that I've taken. And, you know, as much as I like to be able to access free things online, I like the book in front of me. I like to lay down at night and open the book and read it.
Right.
And the Apocalypse of Baruch, if you were going to grab one of the books that Eli and I have gone through, besides the Book of Enoch, which you must have, Enoch 1, this is the second book I would recommend, the Apocalypse of Baruch. For $11 or $12, you'll have a book that you'll cherish for years.
Yes.
And you can make it your own. You can write your notes. As Eli and I go through it, you can write down, and I will try to pass along the notes that I have put in mine. Every page of mine is filled with various notes and cross-references and, you know, my own thoughts as we're going through it. I just put down things that come to me. And I just like it. I like to put my hands on a book I'm reading, you know.
Well, I can't tell you how often I've read myself to sleep, right? Which
exactly.
is probably better
exactly.
than
yeah.
drinking yourself to sleep or smoking yourself to sleep, right? So, yeah.
I would say so, yes.
If I'm really involved in a book, you know, I will read it until I can't keep my eyes open anymore, right? So, and this Apocalypse of Baruch is one of those books, okay? Let's continue here, chapter 48, verse 26. Oh, no, actually, verse 25, sorry. And when I had...
You're in 48, right?
48, okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And when I had prayed and said these things, I was greatly weak. Oh, by the way, Destiny Publishers is the Howard Rand outfit in Massachusetts. So, but they're still active, and it's a great publishing house. Verse 26.
Absolutely,
Yes.
Yeah, they're very good.
Mm-hmm. And he answered and said unto me, Thou hast prayed simply, O Baruch, and all thy words have been heard. But my judgment exacts its own, and my law exacts its right. Okay? He demands us to obey his law. For from thy words I will answer thee, and from thy prayer I will speak to thee. For this is as follows. He that is corrupted is not at all. All right, so that if you have corrupted yourself, you will basically destroy yourself. He has both wrought iniquity so far as he could do anything, and has not remembered my goodness, nor been grateful for my long suffering. In other words, he's talking about Adamites here. Okay, he's not talking about non-Adamites.
That's right. This book is written to us.
Mm-hmm.
This book is not written for any other race but the white race, the true Adamites.
Yes.
And brother, you know, we're not reading some book that's some extemporaneous non-biblical book, and we're just interested in these ancient books. We are studying scripture here. This is a book that is this book absolutely should have been included in the book that we know as the Bible, the 66 book Bible. But Yahweh, in his sovereign providential way, kept certain books out for the end time to nurture and feed his elect in the end.
Yes.
When the apostate world would be so insane, as it is exactly right now, that his elect would need these books literally to survive what is approaching with rapidity. You look at the insanity going on in the world right now. Folks, praise Yahweh, we have the apocalypse of Baruch. And when Eli and I get into this, and we, you know what's a little bizarre? We actually went over this a couple of years ago when we went through the vision of the bright and dark waters. But the situation in the world has become such now where when we get into this vision, and we're kind of laying the foundation for it, this vision that Baruch gave us literally describes our exact current moment in time.
Yeah.
And who is behind it and what is going on. It's the most racial chapters of Scripture you will ever hear in your life. And the consummation of it describes what happens at the end of the age.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And it is the most profound thing that I have ever read from a lifetime of study. If you ask me, what's the most profound prophetic vision you've ever read? I'm sorry, but John's vision in Revelation, apart from his viewing of the direct vision of the glorified Jesus Christ in Revelation chapter 1, this is right there with it. This is the revelation of the time of Adam and the fall of the garden to the end of the age, condensed into a few chapters of writing. I don't even have to consider or argue with anyone, is it inspired by Yahweh or not? If you read it and you don't think it's inspired, I don't even want to talk it over with you.
Right.
That's how clear it is.
It's so obvious, totally obvious.
This is the word of Yahweh given to us for the final days to strengthen us, to enlighten us, to show us what's going on. And to, you know, the more the Jews control the conversation that race doesn't matter, the more we realize race is everything. Being born into the divine white race is the only way of salvation. All the other races literally are irrelevant. The Jews, they're all going to be damned to the lake of fire. And I love to debate the destiny of the other races. Clearly, I can prove without question none of them have eternal life. Mm-hmm. None of them are ever, quote-unquote, saved, as we understand that very ambiguous term. Some of them may survive into the coming age to be a servant race to us. But entering into the covenants of Israel, the true Israelites, us, none of them will ever enter into it. They were never meant to be that.
That's right. That's right. Scripture is very clear.
And to me, that just shows that the whole Judeo-Christian concept of saving the other races and missionaries to Africa, missionaries to China, that is a satanic deception. It must be.
Yeah.
None of these other races can enter into us,
mm-hmm.
enter into right. these covenants.
No,
it was never meant
not.
For them.
That's right. You absolutely know? Not. Yeah. So all of the major religions are in apostasy, as Baruch here actually will tell us very shortly. Okay. Verse 30. Therefore thou shalt surely be taken up, as I before told thee, and the time is coming of which I told thee. For that time will arise which brings afflictions, for it will come and pass by with quick vehemence, and it will be turbulent, coming in the heat of indignation, obviously Yahweh's indignation, and ours. And it will come to pass in those days that all the inhabitants of the earth will be moved one against another, because they know not that my judgment has drawn nigh.
Okay. Praise Yahweh. What a perfect statement. Yeah. Now, remember, brother, we pegged the chronology of this book to approximately 450 to 500 B.C. So we are reading writings that were written, 3,000 plus years ago, approximately.
Right. Yeah, 2,500.
Two or 3,000 years ago, this was written. And when we get into this vision coming up, it literally describes our moment to perfection. I believe we are literally looking at the end of this age in our lifetime. It's got to happen soon. It's the buildup to it. You can feel the powder keg smoldering.
The suspense is killing us, right? The suspense is killing us.
The satanic race, this is like their final gasp, their last effort. You can see them at work.
Right, yeah.
If you have an observational skill and some enlightenment, you can see them every day trying to control things. And as powerful right. and as wealthy as they are not omnipotent in any way whatsoever. Yeah. You see their weaknesses over and over. They are powerful, and I do not underestimate
right.
them.
Right.
But yeah, they're absolutely not all powerful. No
they're
way.
They're trying to control things by hiring blacks to topple tombstones so they can make fake news about it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, it's you know, it's ridiculous how right. even though they have incredible, they have the wealth of the world, they are not omnipotent, not a no, chance, and no. their end is coming. I believe they sense it.
Junipotent. That's the best they can do.
Brother, you got it. You're on a roll today.
Yeah.
Junipotent. What was the other one? The what was the musical group?
The Nazi Cats or something? I forget what it was.
The Swastika Cats. Oh my gosh, that's awesome!
Right,
the
get your harmonicas warmed up, folks. The Swastika Cats coming to town. All right, verse
brother,
34.
you are a Christian identity rocker. I salute
right?
you.
Yeah.
The Swastika Cats. That's yeah. awesome.
Yeah. I actually. Because I've been cleaning up the music room where the drum set is, right?
And then, I remember that room.
Yeah.
By the way, you still got that little bed there if I can make it down to Chicago? Yes?
Yeah, sure.
Are the little dogs still there that will attack
you? Oh, yeah.
Me?
No, they'll chew your pants off.
Eli's got two dogs. Even Eli was scared of those dogs when I was there.
Right.
He showed them respect.
They'll knock me over to get to you, right?
Yeah. Right. The little one followed the big one, as I remember.
Right, right.
Or no, the big one followed the little one. That was it. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Toby is the attacker. He's the attacker.
Toby, the little attack dog. Yeah, too funny. Yeah.
Don't let any Jews come around. All right, verse 33. For there will not be found many wise at that time. Definitely describing our situation today. And the intelligent will be but a few. Moreover, even those who know will most of all be silent. Well, why? Well, because, well, if you're too vocal in your opposition to the Antichrist, they'll put you in jail.
That's right, brother. Right? I mean, even though we're doing a fairly out there radio show, mm-hmm. you know, I don't go out and march on the streets and say, I want to kill all the Jews. I want to burn them in hell. I mean, right. you know, I'm not going up to Jewish doors and knocking their doors down with hammers and saying, judgment is coming, Jew. I mean, right. we, you know, we've been quieted a little
That's
bit.
That's
right
anti-Semitism.
Right. And deep down, I'm one
They'll
of those
arrest
guys.
You for that, right? You cannot criticize a Jew.
And so, I have a confession to make. I even say the N-word occasionally.
Oh, really? Okay.
I do. Sorry.
Yeah.
I say the N-word.
Well, there's nothing worse than the J-word, though. That's as low as it gets. All right. Verse 34. And there will be many rumors and tidings, not a few. Chapter 24 of Matthew. Rumors of wars, rumors of lightnings, rumors of this and that. And the works of the portents will be shown, and promises, not a few, will be recounted. And some of them will prove idle, and some of them will be confirmed. Mm-hmm. Verse 35, and honor will be turned into shame, and strength humiliated into contempt, and probity destroyed, probity being honesty, and beauty will become a scorn.
Yeah, I have it over here in my notes. I looked up probity. It was a word I wasn't even familiar with, and probity was defined as high ideals.
Right.
So high ideals will be destroyed,
yeah.
and beauty will become a scorn. Mm-hmm. And this is, and if we plug in the racial understanding that we in Christian identity have, these verses begin to just open up to us, and we realize we are reading inspired writing here.
That's right.
This is how our race will be viewed in the final days. And Baruch is, I would say, the most racial book of Scripture by far that I've ever read.
Okay.
And that's why Baruch was hidden. Baruch is a book of race. And Baruch is a book that explains why race is everything and how in the end our race will be in great trouble. You know, where he says, and honor will be turned into shame.
Yes.
And strength will be humiliated into contempt. And probity, which we said was high ideals, and beauty will become a scorn. And if I was going to paraphrase this, I would say it like this. And the honor of the white race will be turned into shame. And the strength of the white race will be humiliated into contempt. And the high ideals of the white race will become a scorn.
Libtardism. Yes. Libtardism.
And this is this, you know, we have colleges now that teach classes about white guilt, how you should be ashamed. You're a white person. You've been a racist your whole life. You didn't even know it. You have to write sayings on your face to confess that you're a racist. You were born white. You have white privilege. We have conferences to teach about white privilege. This is how the enemy has organized to not just embarrass us. Let's face it, brother. If they are out to destroy us, Genesis 3:15 laid out the warfare of the ages. There is hatred between the two races, and the one race understands it far better, unfortunately, than our highly benevolent, naive, Yahweh-inspired race. A handful of us have been awakened, and that's the ones I consider to be the true elect Christian identity brethren that actually understand the war that's going on. 98% of our brothers and sisters, they don't have a clue.
That's right. Yep.
They don't have a clue. And sometimes they probably have a thought something's not quite right, but their indoctrination by Jewish brainwashing via media, movies, the education system, and 50 other ways just overwhelms their little inner sense, their inner voice.
Now it's 55.
You know?
5,500 other ways, right? Okay. Well, I'd like to explore this. Beauty will become a scorn because there's so much the Jews have
done. Yes, brother. We could do a whole show on that phrase. Beauty will become a scorn. Give me your thoughts on that. I'll give you mine, and I guarantee we're thinking the same way.
Well, first of all is music. Just take music. The Jewish unmelodic music at the turn of the last century, you know, which has no melody. It's just ugly music, right? The art, the so-called modern art, that utterly lacking in beauty. Andy Warhol, that's art, right?
Jewish art alone is a study in satanic expression.
Yeah,
rap, debauchery, you know, abstract, bizarre. Yeah. Do a study on Jewish architecture. Look at the buildings that famous Jewish architects have built. You can't even look at it without becoming physically nauseous and disoriented.
Well, speaking of physically nauseous and disoriented, you probably have seen movies of that suspension bridge that that started waving when the winds howled by. That was designed by a Jew.
I have no doubt whatsoever.
Right? And the thing blew. The winds knocked it down. It was knocked down by winds. Poor design. And then rap. I even hate to put the word music after the word rap.
No, that's
it's
straight
garbage.
From the jungles of Africa.
Yes.
That's the expression of cannibal tribes of Negroes in the modern age. Rap is basically... Did you, brother, you're like me. I think you got actually a few years on me. Did you not grow up watching Johnny Weissmuller in the Tarzan movies?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Remember when the Negroes in the jungle were beating on the drums and the beats that came out of the jungle?
Right.
The modern day version of that is rap. These are cannibals that we have allowed to be planted among us. And when they start doing music, it's basically straight from the jungle. You know, it's jungle rap. It's the expression of their dark Negro soul.
And the worst of it is the gangster rap, you know, which is hate whitey. It's garbage. It's absolute garbage. And that's beauty will become a scorn. Everything that used to be beautiful, they have turned into ugliness. I mean, we could mention a hundred different ways in which beauty has been turned, but the bottom line is
they have taken the beautiful race of Yahweh, our people, and have turned us into a scorn on the planet. They, our white race, we are scorned. In our own nations, we are scorned. It's okay to attack us because we're white. We have it coming to us because of what we've done to these animal races that have been here, you know. Mm-hmm. No matter what you do to us, it can be justified because, you know, we have held down these other races, as it's explained to us.
Right.
Our beauty has become a scorn. And again, if you plug the concept of race into Baruch, all the verses just open up. And that's why this book probably was never included in the original, 66 books. And this is one of the hidden books for the elect race at the end times. I give thanks to Yahweh that we have the privilege to go through this book, you know, in the current moment of time.
Yeah,
I consider it an amazing privilege that not only do we have this book, but that we have some understanding to go through it. I do not believe this is by accident that we are going through this book at this moment. This book was absolutely designed for this moment of time.
Yeah.
That's how good. And brothers and sisters, I encourage you to get a hard copy of this book. I believe me, I don't work for anybody that sells books, but for $11 or $12, you get a hard copy of this book. You got to have it.
Yes.
You can ignore most of the footnotes in the book by Charles. The translating notes, I appreciate. He tries to give occasional theological interpretation from the late 1800s, and 99% of his interpretations you can just dismiss completely. But give thanks that he was a master of the original languages. That was his gift.
Right.
So we have a very accurate translation from the original. His theological notes, I don't even bother to read. He didn't know a hundredth of what we see.
Yeah.
But he meant well, so you can live through it.
Speaking of beauty being scorned, how about the transition from femininity to feminism? Right? Just think,
brother,
of
that's a Jewish invention.
There you go.
All the way, man.
Right. Anything Jewish is ugly. Anything Jewish is ugly. Plain, simple,
you know, the Jews targeted our women in the garden, and they have never ceased targeting
never
our
stopped.
Women.
That's
and
right.
Feminism is the new attack of the serpent in our lifetime.
Right. Right. It's
feminism absolutely
poison
destroys white women. You see a white woman that is a feminist, she is the most repulsive creature on the planet to me.
That's right. That's right. Yeah. And they hate men for no reason. Not just because some Jewish college professor told them to hate men, right? White men.
Unfortunately, brother, our women have always been innocent and naive and trusting of those whom they should never trust.
Right. Yes. Yes.
You know, as Eve somehow was beguiled by the satanic fallen angel in the garden, our women to this day are still being beguiled by this satanic race. Maybe they're not spreading their legs for a serpent, but they, and many of them are, you know, when they mate with other races, but they listen to the message.
Right.
They become feminists. They go out with Negroes. They bear the children of these dark races.
Yeah. Prostitutes.
It's the Garden of Eden reproduced over and over and over again. And it's a play that never seems to fail.
Yeah.
And our women seem to fall for it over and over and over again.
Yeah,
it drives me absolutely insane to watch it.
And plenty of liberal men, white men, and their motivation is slightly different. They want to take advantage of all the sluts that the Jews have created, right? Right? What do you call it? Collateral damage, right?
Our race, I don't know. Clearly, our race is in trouble. We're under siege. We're hated by every other race on the planet to varying degrees. Yet Yahweh is going to preserve at least a portion of us.
Yes.
Oh, for sure. And the fact that we are in these final days going through, I believe, one of the most unique books of Scripture ever written just reinforces to me that Yahweh is still calling his elect in these last days.
Well, take verse 36. And many will say to many at that time, where hath the multitude of intelligence hidden itself? And whither hath the multitude of wisdom removed itself?
Amen.
How often have we said that?
Let me ask you, does that apply at all to our current moment?
There's, you know, between the libtards and the Judeo-Christians and, how should I put it, atheists, agnostics, you know, even just within our own race, there's no wisdom, there's no intelligence. You know, they believe in
it's
evolution.
Amazing. Now, keep in mind, this book was written approximately 2,500 years ago. These are verses could have been written for our time this morning.
Yeah, yesterday, right? It's today's headlines.
They are exquisitely accurate.
Yes,
exquisitely accurate. Continue reading, and and we're basically building up to this. Eli and I have already gone through this book from A to Z, and we kind of felt not to do that again, but we wanted to get into the central vision of Baruch that covers from the time of the fall in the garden to the consummation of the age and the ushering in of the coming age. And that's the vision of the bright and dark waters.
Yes.
And whether we get to it tonight or not, that is what all of this is coming up to. That starts in chapter 53 of this book. And that, to me, is the most spectacular, accurate, prophetic vision in all of Scripture. It rivals anything to me in the book of Revelation because of the scope that it covers. It covers from the fall in the garden to the end of the age and the ushering in of the eternal age. Even John doesn't cover in such a comprehensive way that much time, but Baruch does.
Yes.
And I see why this book was not included in our Bible.
Right.
This book is for the elect, and that's why we're doing it. And I'm excited to go through this book.
Right.
I'm humbled, brother, to even be involved in this. I don't know why I'm involved in this.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
This is better than Freud and Jung. They're coolest compared
Freud.
To Baruch.
Oh, my gosh, Freud,
All right.
Now, that Jew was you know how much damage that Jew did?
Oh, man. Yeah.
Freud, he was like the forerunner of George Soros. That Jew messed up thousands of people's minds. He was a typical Jew.
That's right.
He wasn't here to do any kind of good on the earth. That was a Jew that just did nothing but damage white people. Like every Jew. Only some of them are worse than others. But Sigmund Freud, I guarantee you right now, he's burning in fire. He's screaming. He's begging for anything, and it's not going to happen. That Jew's in the fire.
Well,
and it's only going to get worse.
You know what his game really was? He just wanted to get white women on the couch. That's
all. You know, they pull these Jews and make them so famous. It drives me nutty.
Right.
You know?
Right?
What a world we live in.
That's right. That's right. Verse 37, and whilst they are meditating these things, then zeal will arise in those of whom they thought not, and passion will seize him who is peaceful, and many will be roused in anger to injure many, and they will rouse up armies in order to shed blood, and in the end they will perish together with them. Sounds like the libtards and Black Lives Matter to me.
Yeah, we can see the buildup of this angst, this conflict, you know. It's just... You can just see the conflict. It's all around us.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible right now. You see the attack even against Trump and you know, the things he's trying to do. You see the satanic race rising up against him. And I don't ever want to make our show into politics. But politics is related in some aspect to this. So I keep an eye on it. And you just see the vehemence of the satanic race against anything that might help the white race. They will just lay down in front of a train and go crazy. It's unbelievable to me.
They should do more of that, right? Save us the trouble, right? All these libtards.
Yeah, brother, read on. We're getting into some amazing stuff here.
Verse 38, and it will come to pass at the selfsame time that a change of times will manifestly appear to every man, by reason of which in all those times they were polluted and practiced oppression and walked every man in his own works, and remembered not the law of the Mighty One. Well, we have apostasy everywhere, even in the churches. Sometimes it's even worse in the churches, where they promote every sort of
unbelievable,
pernicious iniquity, you know, homosexuality, fornication.
Yeah. I was going to say men marrying men, women marrying women, transgenderism.
Right.
I saw this term the other day. Gender fluid. Gender fluid. Like, you can kind of, I guess you can change your mind about what you are. You know, like, I might be a man today, but next week, you know, hey, I could be a woman.
Go with the flow.
I mean, this is what the Jews have brought us to, where you don't even, you can change what even your sex is.
I'm waiting for the Catholic Church to have a transgender baptismal font. Right? That's coming, folks. That's coming.
And by the way, we established in our study of the apocalypse books that whenever the term polluted is there, that we understood that in the concept of racial pollution.
Oh, yeah.
Pollution essentially meant that your genetics were polluted. You polluted yourself by race mixing. You mixed your pure white blood with the blood of another race, produced an offspring that was polluted. And that was the concept of pollution.
Yes. Yes.
Not just that you're, practicing various sins, but pollution was a specific racial mixing. One of the greatest, if not the greatest sin that a white person can commit. Personally, my opinion, and I think I can back it up from Scripture, let's say a Negro has a child with a Chinese person. To me, that's meaningless. Who cares? But a white person having a child with a race, any race, other than another pure-blooded white person, that is scriptural, biblical pollution. That is the dilution of a holy seed line. And that is, to me, the greatest sin in the Bible that can happen.
Yes.
That is the sin that you will probably pay an eternal price for doing that. That is the one of the handful of sins that there really is no forgiveness for.
Well, it's racial suicide. Yeah.
You produce a child with someone of another race. I will say this. All right. I don't want to get too far off on this. I believe there might be forgiveness for the person that committed the sin of race mixing if they truly repent. But the unpardonable sin, in my opinion, and I can prove this, I think, and we should do a couple shows on this. The unpardonable sin is the offspring of that union where a bastardized child, a mamzer that never had the spirit of Yahweh breathed into it, there is zero chance of salvation for that offspring.
That's right.
That is a true mamzer, and that creature, it might as well just jump off a cliff and end its life.
Right. Well, you're condemning that child. Well, it's a limbo. It's a limbo.
I wouldn't even call it a child, brother. It's a mongrel. It's something that was never meant to be.
Okay.
It was never meant to be. And the more I understand Christian identity and spend time studying Yahweh's word, the more I understand when I come to the genealogies in Matthew, in Luke, in the Old Testament, I realize those are snippets of the book of life. I am positive the book of life is nothing more than a genealogy initiating with Adam through to the end of the age. And if you are in the pure blood, white race, Abrahamic 12 tribe, pure blooded line, that's the book. The book of life is nothing more than the lineage of white people.
That's right.
Who was born to whom? Who was born to whom? You know, 100 years ago, all your ancestors were white, and then you were born, and you're white, and then you had white children, and they had white. That is the book of life. What else could it be than that? Who was born pure of divine blood, and each generation had the spirit breath of Yahweh breathed into it? That has to be the book of life. It could be nothing. It could be nothing more. But to mix the blood and jump out of the book of life and have an offspring with someone of another race, you have smacked Yahweh right in the mouth.
Right.
You have spit in his face. And that is the greatest sin that I believe a white person can commit.
Yes.
And I wouldn't even I pity any of our people that have gone through such a thing. And many of them have. Or women in particular. How many times have you seen a white woman with a black man pushing a baby carriage with an orange creature in the carriage?
And those marriages never turn out well.
Never.
They never turn out well. It's
half the women
bad.
Don't survive them.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
She annoys the black sometime, and he does what he does and kills her, and he's like, hey, the bitch didn't want to have sex or something. I mean, it takes nothing to set – they're animals. It takes nothing to set them off.
Right, right.
You know?
And they just don't see it. Yeah, they just don't see it. Yes. Speaking of that, verse 39, therefore a fire will consume their thoughts, and in flame will the meditations of their reins be tried. Reins, I think, is kidneys. In other words, your guts.
Yeah, their inner guts, their inner being. Yeah. Basically, yeah, their inner being.
So your guts are going to be sore. For the judge will come and will not tarry, because each of the inhabitants of the earth knew when he was committing iniquity, and they have not known my law by reason of their pride. In other words, he's saying here, they knew when they were doing wrong. They were just doing it out of pride. Personal pride.
Right.
The self-righteousness of the libtard. That's what it is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. The people now are so messed up in the head, I don't even know.
Yeah. And, well, but the same goes for the antinomians of the churches. They have no love for his law. And they live by their own pride. All right, verse 41. For many will then assuredly weep, yea, over the living more than over the dead. Yeah, we weep over the living, our white brethren who are just so lost that they can't see, they can't tell a difference between up and down. Verse 42. And I answered and said, O Adam, what hast thou done to all those who are born from thee? And what will be said to the first Eve who hearkened to the serpent? For all this multitude are going to corruption, as we were just comparing our people to, you know, the fall of in the garden. For all this multitude are going to corruption, nor is there any numbering of those whom the fire devours. But again I will speak in thy presence. Thou, O Yahweh, my Lord, knowest what is in thy creature. For thou didst of old command to dust, to the dust, to produce Adam, and thou knowest the number of those who are born from him, and how far they have sinned before thee, who have existed and not confessed thee as their creator. Again, we're talking about Adamites here.
Exactly. Who else?
Yes.
I've been sitting here posting to the Skype chat room like an idiot. I just bumped over. I'm officially in the Eurofolk Radio chat room.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Just saying hello to everyone. Greetings, brothers and sisters.
Okay.
Good to be here tonight. All right, yeah. Eli, go on, brother.
Yeah. And as regards all these, their end will convict them, and thy law, which they have transgressed, will requite them on thy day. Verse 48.
Which verse now did you just read? You read
that's verse 47 of chapter 48. We're still in chapter 48.
Right, and I know we touched briefly on what will be said to the first Eve who mm-hmm. hearkened to the serpent.
Right.
So already Baruch is setting the stage for us. That Eve
yes.
hearkened to a serpent. And if you, this just goes back to the foundational belief of Christian identity versus Judeo-Christianity. What happened in the Garden of Eden and how significant was it? I mean, I went to Bible college and I was taught that Adam partook of an apple and that was his sin. Mm-hmm. I believed that for years. You know, how was I to know
silly
different?
You. Right?
Wait. You know, the whole entire race was plunged into sin because
right,
Adam took a bite of a
poison
piece of
apple.
Well, yeah, he was told not to, so he did. Mm. So that was a sin. So
right.
That's where we are today.
But it's not a sin anymore. It's not a sin anymore. Right now he can eat as many poison apples as he wants because he's automatically saved. Right? This is how silly.
It's the most retarded theological. Brother, I don't know. All I know is this.
Yeah.
Yahweh opened my eyes a number of years ago, showed me a few things. I've been a student ever since. And believe me, I don't know all that much. But I just realized what took place in the Garden of Eden. Eve had sex with a satanic being.
That's right.
And brought forth a satanic offspring.
And so did Adam. Adam did too.
And Adam partook, and Adam likely had sex with someone of another race. They don't give us the detail.
Right.
But Eve brought forth Cain,
mm-hmm.
and Cain murdered the initial, you know,
offspring.
Yahweh's son through Adam and Eve of Abel. And the satanic seed line was introduced on the earth. And
right.
Genesis 3:15, read properly, breaks it all down. The seed lines will hate each other. Each seed line will have children. It's all right there. It's hidden in plain sight. And, you know, there is a satanic race on the earth, and they
right.
control the earth today. their power is weakening, but they still have tremendous power. We can see it. Watch CNN for 5 minutes. You want to see the satanic seed line in action? Yeah. Watch CNN. That's their main. That's the Cain News Network, by the way. That's what it really stands for. Cain News Network. Yeah.
Amen.
You want to see? Mm-hmm. You want to watch them control things? Watch CNN for 5 minutes. Yeah. That's about all I can take.
Right.
They are the satanic seed line mouthpiece. I mean, there's other ones, but that's the main one. And Eve hearkened to the serpent and bore a satanic child, and the earth has been cursed ever since. But we are alive in the end of the age where it's all going to come to an end. And this vision that we're going to get into, and I say next week, you know, I know we're still in the buildup. I don't know. I'm just, I don't know. We don't really have time to get into it. I know we're done at 10. This is the most exciting vision of Scripture. In fact, I'll tell you what, brother, I need 2 or 3 minutes. Even if we don't get through the buildup, I want to read through. It's only one chapter. I want to read through it just to give a taste and flavor to our listeners of the vision that we're going to go through. Let me just shoot to it.
Okay, we've got about 8 minutes left.
I only need a couple minutes. We're not even going to get into the interpretation.
Okay.
I just want to read it.
Go ahead.
We're in chapter. We're going to shoot to chapter of Baruch. Looking at it right now.
53, right?
Yeah. Hang on.
And when I had said these things, I fell asleep there and
I
saw a vision and lo. All right.
So this is chapter 53. And this is called the vision of the bright and dark waters. Okay. Now keep in mind, this vision goes from the Garden of Eden to the end of this age and the beginning of the coming age. And this is the most racial verses of Scripture you'll ever hear in your life.
Okay.
All right. So let me read it here. And when I had said these things, I fell asleep there, and I saw a vision, and lo, a cloud was ascending from a very great sea, and I kept gazing upon it, and lo, it was full of waters, white and black, and there were many colors in those selfsame waters, and as it were the likeness of great lightning was seen at the summit. And I saw that the cloud passing swiftly in quick courses, and it covered all the earth. And it came to pass after these things that the cloud began to pour upon the earth the waters that were in it. And I saw that there was not one and the same likeness in the waters which descended from it. For in the first beginning they were black exceedingly for a time. And afterwards I saw that the waters became bright, but they were not many. And after these things again, I saw black waters, and after these things again, bright, and again black, and again bright. Now this was done 12 times, but the black were always more numerous than the bright. And it came to pass at the end of the cloud that, lo, it rained black waters, and they were darker than had been all those waters that were before. And fire was mingled with them. And where those waters descended, they wrought devastation and destruction. And I saw after these things that lightning which I had seen on the summit of the cloud, that it held it fast and made it descend to the earth. Now that lightning shone exceedingly, so as to illuminate the whole earth. And it healed those regions where the last waters had descended and wrought devastation. And it took hold of the whole earth and had dominion over it. And I saw after these things, and lo, 12 rivers. Oh, praise Yahweh for 12 rivers. 12 rivers were ascending from the sea, and they began to surround the lightning, that lightning, and to become subject to it. And by reason of my fear, I awoke. That's
scary.
The vision.
Scary. That's the vision. Right. But great
that
hope.
That vision, brother, covers a minimum of several thousand years from the Garden of Eden to clearly our current moment in time and to the end of this age. So several thousand years are covered in those 12 verses.
Well, the flipping back and forth between white and black shows the eras of history where our race had dominion, when we lost it, we got it back. We lost it again.
Yeah.
All right, we got it back. You know, it's very clear what he's talking about here. It is the racial struggle of the white race vis-a-vis the Rainbow Coalition.
This is a snapshot of Genesis 3:15. Genesis 3:15 prophesied a long warfare between two races. And Baruch details it for us and says, here's the actual history of Genesis 3:15. Warfare between two seed lines, the bright waters, the white race, the race of Adam, the dark waters, you could call it the race of the fallen angels, the satanic race, unfortunately spawned by Eve with Cain and the continuation of that seed line. And as it goes through history, it's traced, and Baruch traces it for us, and we are living in the final moments of that warfare.
Amen.
And it makes perfect sense. Yahweh prophesied it. Why would it not be as he said it would be?
That's right. Exactly.
Of course there would be.
We have this faith and knowledge, yes, that nobody else has outside of identity, because we know these prophecies have come true, and the end time prophecies will yet come true. No doubt.
That's right. I find it incredibly significant where in the very first part of the prophecy, he says, I saw that the waters became bright, but they were not many.
Yes, yes.
We are always overpowered. We are always outnumbered. We are always overshadowed by these evil, dark races, by the satanic seed line.
Amen.
I mean, if we had a majority, we would just wake up and wipe them out. But they always seem to overshadow us.
Yeah, because we let our guard down, thanks to Judeo-Christianity.
We have a weakness of just this altruistic, stupid benevolence where we just can't understand the other races to the point where we think, you know, we should just wipe them out.
Self-destructive altruism.
If we get rid of them, life would be way better.
Doormatism.
We're not that smart.
We're the doormat race.
We're divine. Right. We're divine. We're intelligent, but we lack street sense.
The only thing we're guilty of is being too kind. That's what we're guilty of. Let me read the last three verses of chapter 48.
Okay.
But now let us dismiss the wicked and inquire about the righteous, and I will recount their blessedness and not be silent in celebrating their glory, which is reserved for them. For assuredly, as in the little time in this world which passeth away, in which ye live, ye have endured much labor, so in that world to which there is no end, ye shall receive great light.
That's right.
All right. So this is our hope, the hope of Israel. Okay.
Brother, this entire book is written to the true Israelites. And, you know, in that last verse of that incredible revelation that I just read, where he talks about at the end, where the 12 rivers will begin to become servants to the great lightning. That is a perfectly amazing picture of the 12 tribes of Israel, which is the representation of our people. Our people will begin to submit themselves to the glorified Yahshua Christ in the coming age.
Amen.
I don't even think you need to interpret it. It's so clear, there is no other interpretation. What else could it be?
Well, there's no wisdom, there's no intelligence.
12 rivers?
Only we know how to interpret it. All right, folks. Thanks for listening. I hope you're beginning to appreciate this Apocalypse of Baruch. It is an astounding book of prophecy.
Amen.
All right, Brother Greg, thanks for being my co-host again tonight, folks. This is today's show for March 3rd, 2017, Yahweh's Covenant People. Join us next Friday. Praise Yahweh. Pass the ammunition. See you next time.
Amen, brother. Yahweh bless.
Yahweh bless.